Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Learn to Wait on God. Learn to wait on God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 8. And then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us this morning. Amen. And so if we're there, verse 2 reads, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Praise God. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. That's the key. Asking in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. And in verse 7 and 8, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So this morning's message basically is teaching us how to learn to wait on God. How many of you have submitted prayers, supplications, petitions, and yet it seems like, God, I haven't got an answer yet? For some of us, it's been a week. For some of us, it's been several months. For some of us, it's been several years. Amen? Amen? Oh, yes. And we wrestle sometimes with God about that. But I'm here to let you know, we're going to look to see how we can learn that sometimes waiting is the best method. Can I get amen? So look at this on the screen right up here. How do you respond when God doesn't answer your prayers? So do you have a little hissy fit? Huh? Do you guys go into one of those temper tantrums? Do you just say, forget it, I'm going to go take care of this myself? Okay, so there are many responses when God doesn't answer like you are asking him to answer your petition. And so one of the key scriptures that I found is found through the psalmist, King David. It's right up here. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. God is saying, be of good courage. Hold on. Slow your roll. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen, King David had a lot of enemies chasing him. And there were times where he had to hide in the caves of En-Gedi, where Saul, who was jealous of the anointing, was pursuing him to destroy him. And yet, just imagine if you had an enemy that wanted to kill you. You probably would want that enemy dead now, right? Well, through his trial, through the persecution, through it all, King David said, wait on the Lord. He did the opposite. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And one of the things that I honored about David, even though Saul was his enemy, he said, I'm not going to touch that man because he's still anointed by God. So now, does your faith waver if he doesn't provide what you've requested in the time and manner you expected? You see, we're going to find ourselves in this lesson. There are several dilemmas. There are several things that come to us unexpectedly, and then we're asking God to do something right away. Can he do something right away? Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he can. Yes, he could be there right there when you call upon him. But then don't fret and wait upon him if the answer has not yet come. And so saints, although it may seem that the problem of fluctuating faith is the result of unanswered prayer, it's actually caused by a misunderstanding of what God is doing in your life. You see, you have to allow God to do something in your life as you're waiting for that petition to come to pass. Amen? And so what I love about the book of James, it tackles the issue of doubting by first addressing God's purpose for our trials. See, he's going to address those things in our life regarding trials. But we have to understand why we go through these trials. We have to understand that sometimes we did it to ourselves. And it's not a situation that arises from outside of our sphere. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Look at this. Let's go back to James 1 and 2. Look at this. My brethren, count it all joy. How can you count it all joy when you're going through affliction? How can you count it all joy when you're going through persecution? How can you count it all joy when things seems like it's unraveling in your life? And it's apparent at that moment that you're by yourself. You're all by yourself. No matter how many people you call, no matter how many people pray, and yet it seems like you're all by yourself. James says, count it all joy. I know that's tough, isn't it? But he says in his word, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So the trials will be various, meaning it'll come in so many different ways that you would never have imagined that this trial now is before you. And so verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. God is saying, hey, slow down. I saw this already before the foundation of the world. Before I spoke everything into existence, I already saw your trial. And I'm going to be there with you, helping you work it out. And so saying, sometimes God doesn't immediately give the relief we seek. Why? Because he's using that particular trial to produce something good in us. Hallelujah. How many would rather wait on God so that he could produce something good in you, right? And so we go back to James again. Look at this, 4-8. But let patience have its perfect work. So if God is saying be patient about your situation, then allow God to work out that thing in you so it will produce good, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of you want to walk around lacking nothing? Come on. Amen. Praise God. Look at this. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Praise God. Look at verse 6 here. But let him ask in faith. That's the key. Let him ask in faith. For we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. If we walk in sight, we're going to be frustrated and we're going to be disappointed. But if we walk in faith, knowing that God is with me, guess what? Knowing that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, guess what? That trial, God will see you through. Oh, that's right. But look at this. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And unfortunately, there are people that they don't know how to wait on the promise. They'll move ahead of God and they'll fall deeper into a ditch instead of waiting on the Lord to help sort this issue out. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so, saints, I truly believe God wants us to come to him with our requests. How many believe that? Oh, that's right. Trusting that he hears us, and he does. He hears every one of our petitions. However, if he doesn't answer them immediately, it's not because he doesn't care. His purposes are always accomplished according to his timing and not ours. So we got to let God work those things out after we give them to him. Amen? Now, look what Isaiah wrote here. Isaiah wrote here, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God knows the best remedy for us. He has the answers because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. A lot of times we'll bring a petition, but sometimes even that petition, that request, could have a little selfishness in it. And we don't realize that we are coveting something from God. And God is saying, wait, my thoughts are high. I know what's best for you. And I will work it out. Just trust in the Lord. He is the God that brings not just remedy, but he brings you and I great joy and his presence. Listen, when we experience the joy and the presence of God, let me just say this. I don't care what you're going through. That will far exceed your problem. When you're filled with the joy and the Spirit, walking in faith, knowing that he's with you, knowing that soon and very soon, he will come and take us home one day. Amen, the bride of Christ. And so God may answer in a different manner or a late date than we expect, but we need to just hold on. Can I get amen? And that's why we must wait and trust in the Lord, even when we see no evidence of an answer. That's tough, when there's no evidence of an answer. So we all know this. Some of us have this probably on our refrigerator door, or maybe it's written down in your Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. So James says, when we doubt the Lord, we are like a wave tossing to and fro. But let him ask in faith, James 1:6, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave, see, driven back and forth. You see, saints of God, one minute we're confidently trusting God, and the next moment we're wondering if he answers prayers at all. Have you been there before? Okay, just me. I've been there. I've been there many times. God, did you hear my cry? And a lot of times we don't hear a squeak from him. And yet, he's already heard our cry. He already knows what to do if we allow him to work in our life. Can I get amen? And perhaps we'll only believe in him if he gives us a little encouragement along the way. Or sometimes we fuss. Are you the type that fuss and toss and turn and argue with the Lord? Please, don't go there. I've been there. It doesn't work. It does not work. Don't argue with the Lord. Can I get amen? If you're going to argue, go in the mirror and argue with yourself. See how long that lasts. But with all our doubts, simply reveal that we are impatient. We don't know God's will, or we're not yet ready to receive his answer. You see, we have to be ready to receive that answer, right? That's right. Anticipate that whatever he answered, it's going to be good. It's going to work for our good. God wants things for us that are good. You got to remember, there's no evil. There's no darkness in him. He is light. And so God wants to speak life into us. He wants to speak goodness. He wants to give us his grace. He wants to show us his mercy. That's who God is. And so Paul knew when he wrote to the Roman church, look at this verse of scripture right here. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's the key. Stay in prayer. Be patient in your tribulation, because we're going to go through. How many of us can honestly say that you've been through something very, very fiercely? Oh, yes. Oh, all of us have. And so we have to rejoice in hope. Can I get an amen? Hope that God will answer, that God is with us. You see, saints, whenever God delays in responding to our petitions, he's teaching us to consistently trust and believe in him. Not because we see the answer, but because he's promised to hear and answer our prayers. Yeah, oh yes, he will answer our prayers. When doubts arise because of God, delays is due to our lack of trust in him. Not a lack of care or ability on God's part. God's faithful. How many believe God's faithful? Oh, yes, he is. He's faithful. And so let's look at this. We're going to break this down. Look at this. What causes our faith to waver? What causes our faith to waver? Let's look at number one. We choose to rely on our feelings rather than on the Word of God. You see, saints of God, if we shift our focus from the promises in His Word to our feelings, our faith will become what? Unstable. But when our faith is grounded in the Word, we never have to question what God says because we stand on truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Our own sister Louisa, who submitted her resume, she was just speaking truth. And the truth set her free. Can I get an amen? The truth gave her that stamp of approval. Man, I could imagine that person that had to make that decision was like, God was just speaking. I believe she said, "I'm just going to approve this. I don't read it no more. I read enough." And so we need to stand on truth. Can I get amen? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said it best. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are what? My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at our second point here. Number two, we yield to reason rather than believing God. Sometimes our reasoning gets confused. We mix our emotions with God's word. And we cannot create what God recreate something that God has already spoken in his word. Amen? And so, human reasoning and faith are not always compatible. We may have all kinds of good reasons for making a particular request to God, but he, Jesus, sees more of the situation than we do. Aren't you so glad that he looks past our blinders? Oh yeah, he sees way over here on this side, and he sees way over here on that side. But sometimes we just have tunnel vision, and we don't see what God is doing. And we got to learn to trust him. If the Lord delays in answering, my friends, he has a divine reason that is good, legitimate, and helpful. You got to believe God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen? Look at this, because our own heart. How many believe that our own heart can condemn us? No matter how the tribulation is and how severe it is, the trial. But God, hallelujah, tells us that we need to guard our heart. Because look what God's word says right up here in 1 John. "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." This is why we have to defer it to God. Whatever you're going through, defer it to him. And allow him to be with you through this situation. Can I get an amen? Our third point is this. We fail to see God at work in our circumstances. And if we're looking for a visual response, guess what? You may be looking for a long time. You see, my friends, if the Lord doesn't change our circumstances, it's because he's using them to bring you and I into maturity. That's right. How many of you believe that there's still room to grow in Christ, that we haven't arrived? Listen, the day that we arrive is when we arrive in heaven. Okay? Just remember that. We'll never arrive anywhere here on this earth. We are all disciples. We're all learning. We're all being taught by the Holy Spirit. And this is the helper, the great helper that God has sent. His primary purpose is not to give us everything we desire, but to shape us into the image of his son. That's the key, to be formed and fashioned and shaped in the image of God. And he knows the perfect way to accomplish this. And one of the key scriptures is this right here: "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Praise God. Praise God. If we're walking in faith, we're number one, we're trusting now. We're hoping now. We're believing now. We're deferring now to God, and God will see us through. You see, knowing his good purpose frees us from worry and doubt and allows us to relax and wait patiently for the Lord to accomplish what he desires in our lives. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Let's look at our fourth principle right here, our fourth point. We listen to the negative counsel of other people. Uh-oh, here's where we get in trouble. Listen, there's some godly men and women that are in the presence of God that has sought the word, and they'll give you a good word of encouragement. But sometimes we get our counsel from people that are not spiritual. And this is where we get in trouble. It's easy to run to a family member, a friend, a coworker, and they'll give you a perspective. Sometimes it's contrary to the word of God. And when the situation at hand is so severe, we're looking for any comforting means that will help us. But this is where we have to have great discernment. Can I get amen? Great discernment. Sometimes those around us may discourage us from persevering in prayer. Why? Since it appears useless from their perspective. Oh, yeah. Unregenerated people, people that are not saved, that are not born again, they don't see the word of God, and they don't see what God is doing in your life spiritually. So they're going to give you a natural point of view. Do you remember these three characters? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Okay. Let me just remind us who these three characters are. They were Job's friends. Job, one of the wealthiest men during his generation. And there was a conversation in heaven. Satan came to God and said, the only reason why that Job is so blessed is because you put a hedge around him. Remove the hedge and let me at him, and I'll get him to curse you in your face. And so because God knows all things, because he's the one that created us, he knew Job's character. He knew that Job loved the Lord. He knew that come what may, that no matter what he was going to go through, that he would not turn around and curse God for the situation he was in. So just imagine that Job lost his children in these cataclysmic tornadoes that came. He lost his wealth, and then he started losing his health. And that's only the reason why he didn't die is because God told Satan, go ahead and touch him, but don't kill him. And so, he got advice from these characters. But look how Job responded to these three as we go into the story here. Look at this in Job 16, 1 through 5. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. You know what they told him? One of them said, this is happening because you're in sin. He was not in sin. This man was a righteous man. He believed God, loved God. Like you and I, we love God. We believe God, right? But he rebuked them. Because they tried to slander what God allowed to happen in Job's life so that a greater testimony would come from the life of Job. Look at this. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's place. In other words, if you were in my place, I could have come up with all kinds of things to say about you too. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. You see how Job flipped? He flipped that around. He said, if you were in my shoes, I would bless you. I would praise God. I would lift you up. I wouldn't speak cursings that you're probably in. Wow. See, Job was a man of character. What God is teaching us this morning is to have that kind of character. That no matter what you're going through, God is with you. He will strengthen you. And he doesn't want us to turn our hearts against God, but to trust and to hope and to ask God, God, strengthen me at this weakest moment in my life right now. And how many of you can honestly say you're going through something that's pretty harsh? Okay, just me. Praise God, you're all doing well. Praise God. Yeah. Okay, we're going to give an altar call right now for all the liars. Saints, that's why it's wise to keep some of our prayer requests between just us and the Lord. Can I get amen? There's some things you shouldn't share with nobody. Because they will say, they will repeat your situation, and then by the time it gets to the 30th person, it has changed. Can I get amen? Oh, yes. So let's look at this right here. Number five, we focus on the circumstances rather than God. So a lot of times, things will happen and it becomes so explosive. It becomes so illuminated. We forget that, wait, God is greater than this. And we can't see past our circumstance. You see, we desire an objective is to increase. Let me just say this. How many would you rather in your trial have God increase love, devotion, and commitment to him? Oh, yes. Listen, when I find myself in a trial, this is where I run to God, not away from God. My former pastor shared this one story when he was 9 years old. Nine. Back when he was a child, his mom used to have what's called a switch. You know what a switch is? And when he would get out of line and would just be so rebellious, she would come and get the switch. And there were times where she would have to chase him. And he figured out something very quickly. Because he knew if he ran, the thrust of that swing would probably put a welt on his leg. So he figured it out. I'm not going to run away from her. I'm going to run to her. So he ran and latched onto a leg and started wailing and screaming, you know, like mercy, mercy, mercy. So that switch no longer had any thrust. So eventually he said that she would drop it. She would pick him up and start ministering to him. And then she would tell him why he was disobedient and why she had to discipline him. And a lot of times, my friends, we're no different than that 9-year-old when we find ourselves in a situation that maybe we did it to ourselves, and then we run from God instead of running to him. Let me just say this. Our deliverance, the remedy, our healing, all these things that we're asking God to fix, we need to come to him boldly yet humbly through the throne room of grace. God has prepared a way for us to enter into that place with him so that we can pour out our whole soul to him and then allow him to wash us and to cleanse us and then allow healing to come. A lot of times we got to just throw pride out the door. No matter if it's he said, she said, they did, he did, she did, throw all that out the door and say, here I am, God. I humble myself and help fix my heart. Help fix my heart that I won't be bitter toward that situation, that I won't be bitter toward them. And when God starts fixing your heart, guess what? The situation that was so big becomes very small. And then you will say, oh, God. Thank you Thank you for changing my heart. Because our heart will get in the way sometimes. Look at this, my friends. Look what Jesus said right here. Look at this. So Jesus said to them, because your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. God is saying, come to him in faith. No matter what the situation is, because he will see you through. How many believe he will see you through? Praise God. Praise God. Look at number six. We are sometimes ignorant of God's ways. I've been there, done that. In my early years, in my early walk with Christ, I didn't know the word. This is why learn his word, learn his ways. Can I get amen? When we understand more about God's ways as revealed in his word, we will become more patient when his answers are delayed. That's the blessing, because he's going to answer. God will not leave us alone. God will come and rescue us in his time. And I've seen him do that in my life many, many times. This is why you got to remember and always believe what God did for you then, he can do for you again. Can I get amen? Amen. Whatever he did for you then, he will do it again. Because he's the God that loves us with an everlasting. He loves us so dearly. And if he created you beautifully and meticulously, don't you think that it's his responsibility to care for us? And he has. For some of us, he has given us everything to our heart's desire. And there's nothing we can pay him back with. There's nothing we can. Even Bill Gates, who's a multi, he has nothing to give God. And all we can do is give him a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness, a heart to say, Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for loving me. Yet when I was at one time unlovable, but you loved me. You chose to, and God has chosen to love you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to seven. Look at this. We will carry guilt over present or past sins. You know, that's what the devil will do. He will, no different than the three friends of Job. The devil will say, look what you've done. Look what you've said. Look at you now. And he'll try to bring defeat into your life. But I'm here to let you know that if God be for you, who could be against you? Can I get amen? God will be the lifter of your head. God will go before you and fight that battle. Praise God. Because did you know that God is a God of battle? And when he comes back again, he is going to battle the enemies of God. But he's going to take us out of the way. But see, here's the key. This is for you and I to learn. Don't let your heart condemn you. Don't let your heart condemn you. Even if you did something that was foolish, and we all sometimes do things foolishly. We'll say something, we'll do something, and it causes harm to us. We get it. But then you move on and say, oh God, I give this to you. Oh God, restore this, God. I give it to you, Lord. This one was me, God. And when you humble yourself and you come to him like that, he will restore. He will lift up. He will rebuild. Can I get amen? This is why we got to believe God's word. Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. He said this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We're in Christ. So listen, the devil cannot condemn us no more. Our heart shouldn't condemn you anymore. Can I get amen? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, capital S. We've been born again. So now we got the Spirit of God living in us. So we can't let old Slewfoot have his way no more. Can I get amen? Listen, we're in a different camp now. Man, we used to dance with the devil back in the day. You know that. And now we're in God's camp. Now we're dancing in the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? We swapped out our dance partners. Well, that's right. I'd rather dance with God. Praise God. Look at this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen, knowing that we're going to live forever, shouldn't that bring great joy? No matter what you're going through right now, knowing that I'm going to live with God forever. The moment I take my last breath here on this earth, the next one will be in glory with him. Man, see, you know, a lot of us, we don't see that far down the road. We're looking at our circumstances at large. But God is saying, wait a minute. Just move that screen out of the way from your mind and look at the joy that's set before you. Eternal life with him. A body that will never be diseased. A body that will never have affliction. Just imagine having a brain, a mind that have no more sin in it. We can't even fathom that. The moment we wake up, there's things that come to the mind that, oh God, where did that come from? Yes, because we're still living in this what? This sinful nature. God didn't save this sinful body. He saved our soul and spirit, praise God. And we're going to be reunited with the new body soon and very soon. So saints of God, I ask this question. How do we correct our wavering faith? How do we do that? We waver. And I'm guilty of that too. I'm not immune. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. And I'm opening up my own letter as well. We begin asking ourselves the following questions. Look at this. Where are these doubts coming from? Where are they coming from? Look at this. If we are currently living in sin, we can expect confusion and doubt. So God is saying, listen, I want to bless you. And if you're choosing to walk in my ways and you know things that will get you in trouble, refrain from them. You know, there's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. I remember when I first got saved. My old friends that I hung out with, they tried to get me to go with them to clubs. Come on, man. But I knew that was a temptation now. I knew God had delivered me from that lifestyle. But yet, they still had a tug on me. And I had to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, say, God, free me from this now. And guess what? God just gave me so much joy and peace that I had to say goodbye. I got new friends now. And guess what? They're you, and you. God's people. That's right. You see, if we understand God's word truly, then that's our defense mechanism, his word. I can easily say, hey, you know, don't do that. Hey, refrain from that. Hey, you know what? I don't think that's a what. That's my perspective. That's my opinion. But when God says something, we have to take heed. Can I get amen? Because God's word exceeds anything that we have to say. Any recommendation we give, God's word will exceed that and will be the final answer. You guys ever watch that program? What's your final answer? And the final answer is this. Look at this in 1 John. Look at this. This is God's word now. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. That's Jesus. And in him, there is no sin. Now check it out. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Wow. Isn't that something? You know what? I had to ask God. God, what do you mean by this? He's talking about the saved and the unsaved. Because the unsaved will sin continually without any thought. But as a child of God, even if we do, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And then we repent and we ask God, help us. See, we don't stay in it. Can I get amen? Where when you were unsaved, we just wallowed in it. It's like bringing someone from the world into the church and teaching them God's ways, and yet they've never been regenerated. In other words, they've never been born again. I look at it like this. If you were to, and I'm just painting a picture, if you were to go into a farm and take a swine from the mud, bring them in, give them a milk bath, spray cologne on him, and put a nice little ribbon on him, as soon as you open the front door, it's going to run right back into the mud. Because that's where his environment is. It's not in your clean house, it's in that mud. Well, we all know the sinner cannot, I like how Brother G would say it if he was here. There's some people that fake the funk. You know what that means? They're pretending, but they're not really are. They're not really born again. Because they keep in that mode with the unsaved out there. And that's where their real life is in the culture of the world. But look at this. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of, oh man, he who sins is of the devil. I'm glad John wrote it and not me. Because some of you already start picking up tomatoes and throwing them at me up here. He said, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he destroyed the works of the devil in our life? Come on, as believers, as his children? Oh, yes. And he has encamped angels around us. Thank you, God. He watches over us. He keeps you in all his ways. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this right here. Did God promise to meet your needs? Yes, he did. Look what it says in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply what? All your need according to the riches and glory by what? Christ Jesus. Praise God. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. Look at this, number three. Did God not promise to be with you all the time? Oh, yes, he did. God's word says this right here in Hebrews. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. So let me ask this question before we give an altar call here. Have you come to a fork in the road in your life where you're in the stuck mode? You ever put too much clothes in a washer machine and it just went boom, 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 boom? Okay, you know what you have to do? You have to stop it, open up the lid and rearrange the clothes because they're stuck. Balance them out, close the lid and let it finish its cycle, amen? So a lot of times, we go, oh, I'm stuck, God. God, will you fix my heart? Will you rearrange my thought life? Will you give me grace for the person that offended me? Will you give me a love for them still that I won't harbor any ill will toward them? Because did you know that people will offend you in life? They will say things, do things, and God is saying, wait a minute. My love is greater than all that misery. Go ahead, Brother Tony. I have more, but I feel like God is saying we need to just pray. And I truly believe that if we trust God, believe God, know that he's with us, know that whatever you've been praying for, he will answer in his time, that God's grace is sufficient. How many believe God's grace is sufficient? That's right. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And I'm going to ask Sister Linda and Sister Daria to pray for us, those who need prayer, that you would come to the altar. And whatever your petition is, know that God will hear your cry. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what the remedy is. But guess what he's looking for? He's looking that we would trust him. And how many of you can honestly say you trust God? Amen. Praise God. This time it wasn't just my hand that went up. But I'm just here to let you know that God loves you all. And God has a hope for us. God wants to let you know that because of what he did on the cross, he has given his life for you and I, that we could come to him in faith. And by his grace and his mercy, He will save us. And those of you right now that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, if you logged in for the very first time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the family here at Amazing Grace to pray with me for you, that you would surrender your life, you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God would do something brand new in your life, and that you would walk in the newness of life, and then God will establish and show you more and more of His plan for your life. So those of you that are watching, bow your head and your heart and pray this prayer by faith. We're going to pray it with you and watch God do something so miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is He worthy? And we pray for you if you've given your heart to God. Down below is our website. Log on. We want to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we want to bless you and also point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so God bless you, Facebook and YouTube. We're going to sign off with you, and then we're going to pray for us here. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.